systematic, but it's sort of just summarising a couple of recent lectures I've given off-site about the work. So, and it's quite personal, I guess, where the work comes from. So I'm going to give you some sort of more personal insights or reflections, I guess, that sort of locate gleaning as a term as a term for an artistic methodology that I have come to sort of locate at the kind of centre of the work. And I use that term gleaning to frame a method for using a kind of a way of collating and appropriating material that is you know, to the likes of Abby Warburg and the Limousine Atlas, of course, and Benjamin's Arcades projects, to sort of think about how there's a kind of subjective impulse to present fragments from the past for a particular reason in another form. So I kind of liken it to this idea of an itinerary that provides a traveller with a narrative to cross and connect sites, and that comes from myself being a migrant from Poland, that kind of isn't at the fore of the work, but is an undercurrent to the practice in general. So to a kind of big failure or a kind of attempt at doing something a couple of years ago now, more than 10 years ago, in 2004, I made my first sort of wall-based work. It was a 6-metre mural wallpaper that depicted a credenza, and the work, which was a singular component of a solo exhibition at the then Gallery Wren or Francis Baker Smith in Surrey Hills, you know, occupied my mind for a lot of time before and then after the exhibition. And I kind of have come to reflect on it quite a lot because it was very clear what I was trying to do, but what the work failed to do on so many levels. You might be familiar with these, of course. They sort of date back to the 14th century. They were a kind of sideboard to an effect that took on architectural form. There I am with the credenza. And this thing is actually very... Well, I grew up with these all around me in Warsaw when I was a child. Each one of our rooms had one of these elaborate kind of cabinets. And, you know, it had inlaid sort of mirrors behind, and it kind of housed these very precious objects of China that you didn't use, or, you know, curated family photographs and objects that people who were lucky enough to go abroad collected and brought back and displayed. So... important to hold this whole idea or this whole sort of the way that I think about gleaning comes to this through, you know, we left Poland when I was 6, we went via Germany, Dad and I arrived here, we were here for a little while, my mother and my sister joined us, and prior to coming here, my mother actually, you know, packed a shipping container, as most people did, during that time, and she bought one of these credenzas anew and actually brought it here to Australia. Imagine that. It was black. It was kind of a black veneer thing. And, you know, that was sort of this idea of that being in anticipation of her new life here in Australia. So I guess my artistic kind of investigation is very much born out of that, of leaving one place and arriving in another, and the nature of my mother's impetus to kind of transport her specific place, her culture and her personal experience for me is found in the metaphor of a credenza, a container where memories are stored and transported and presented, I guess, for consideration of the somewhere else that one is from. So, I'll just go back to this for a second. So, Paper, Stone and Permutations is kind of a very new work, and I'm still, when I make new work, it's very fresh and I find it quite difficult to talk about in the beginning. So it responds to this idea of using gleaning as a way of displacing experience and drawing on sort of the potential of photographs to evoke a temporal and a psychological distance from places. And I guess I consider that idea in relation to a contemporary understanding or a way that we are now in this potential state of flux about place, where we come from, and how it's actually constructed in hybrid ways as artists as well. So while my practice isn't autobiographical, I like to throw these in because I don't do it often enough, but I do make out there. It's not autobiographical or self-referential, but there are methods and affinities with that, the way that I might engage with a certain space or a place to translate a set of objects in a work that bring up or covertly kind of bring up an encounter with displacement and loss. So photography is kind of the main, I guess, medium. And I guess I use it because it is fundamentally a kind of trigger for memory and for association. And it's this idea where, you know, resemblance and fragments which are constructed like inaccurate memories in some way. So I do it by taking newly found and found photographs, and they're often presented side by side, and that's kind of become quite important. And the photograph usually depicts a landscape, one that I've experienced and subsequently kind of removed from that moment and from its context and, you know, in relation to the time it was taken, past and present, etc., and the way that that emotive capacity is removed from that moment. And it's always been the landscape as a subject because to me it kind of mediates a sense of permanence and belonging, and there's a lot written, I guess, on that, so I'm very drawn to that. It is a place per se. And it's also replete with sort of human histories and memories. So I also, I guess, choose sites to photograph on, you know, premised on a degree of serendipity in terms of how I approach where things are made, and this idea of chance encounters, and which are, you know, which depend a bit on the notion of guide-vous dériver and the ability to kind of lose yourself in a particular moment for a duration to let go of, you know, your relationship to that geographical environment and the behaviour. So that's kind of important in terms of the method of being somewhere and how I treat it. And so this kind of removal, I guess, happens in the making, and then what I think the work tries to do and how it is presented. So there's also this process of taking the photograph and storing it. Usually it occurs through a very methodical process of using a 4x5 field camera, where the sheet of film is unloaded from the double dark, and after the exposure it's stored, subsequently processed. And without the kind of metadata, I guess, that's embedded automatically in digital images, analog film doesn't carry with it that encoded or inscribed information on geographical position. So it's kind of, as a collector of places or sites, the GPS coordinates become really irrelevant to me. And what fascinates me is that the place in the photograph is now actually without a location. Its exact position and inherently the place and the memory of taking the picture are irretrievable because they end up in a kind of archive of my own that is reshuffled over and over and comes into being with other things. So this becomes a starting point to my process of excessive collecting and storing and retrieving photographs through that the image's indexicality and its relationship to the place and the world that they were taken, but also how, you know, the process by which they come separated from it. So the other thing is this wallpaper as a substrate, the materiality inherent in wallpaper. It comes from me, of course, existing in you know, in my family home in Poland, where, you know, you could say it projected a kind of escape from the reality that one existed within, and we're talking about Eastern Europe in the 70s and 80s. So I've witnessed it in many migrants' homes. This is the image of it in my grandmother's house, again, in each of the rooms. And I've also witnessed it in many other, you know, migrants' home in Australia today. This is my in-laws in Newcastle right now, particularly those who arrived in the 1970s and have a kind of a similar recreation of such an ideal, you know, is kind of presented in their new home here in Australia. So I'm drawn to it for a lot of reasons, in that it provides a kind of historical memoir or a sort of experiential space from the past. And I use it as a visual device very specifically in my work as a component that explores perception and illusion, as you saw perhaps in that earlier image from the Blue Distance Show at UTS. I guess I'm just trying to map out a couple of components and how they come into play and why. So there's a few found things, and then this is a kind of key relationship to the gleaning. where I approach gleaning through the kind of lens of bricolage, one, because it draws on the sort of psyche of the migrant imagination or the traveller, of things moving across cultures to find a new language for creative expression. And, you know, we're kind of reminded by a number of writers who sort of cover bricolage as a idea in terms of the migrant experience, that it's a means of engaging with the world and restoring sort of possibilities for interpreting and creating new meaning, obviously, through work and introducing new possibilities for restructuring and understanding of time, place and identity within that. So in rummaging through my own archive a little while ago with a curator when we were working on a show together, I came across these works, which were from 2010, and these are wrapped in tissue paper. I immediately thought about this metaphoric potential of the tissue paper as a layer that partially covered the image and photographed the work 5 years after it was found or that I located it. So the tissue paper kind of reveals and conceals areas of the image. It also resembles the original work. And in my mind, it kind of tries to separate itself from that in the present. And what also occurs is this acknowledgement of the physicality of the photograph. The material creases in the tissue paper, the flat surface of the photographic paper, and the black plastic covering the subject of the image of the original photograph itself. So I guess this helped me kind of, this experience helped me understand how I could privilege my approach to artistic production. through that process of engaging with older material in my own archive, and how the period between taking the image in another sense, not just taking it, storing it through the the camera process, but between making the work or finding the object, and how that final artwork comes into being and what that might mean, and how that could actually set up a broader sort of range of contingencies within my practice. So I collect them. I collect things, and I, you know, like any other objects, I store them and I retrieve them. The other work that is sort of happening at the moment, and I can't kind of imagine ever being finished, is this, and it looks at, the relationship between photography and archaeology and the methods of collecting things in the world and later deciphering them. This work draws on the 1977 edition of Roelof Benny Interprets in Photographs, Pleasure of Ruins, which was really originally written by Rose Macaulay in 1955. The original piece of literature sort of articulated the relationship between the disappearance of buildings and sort of the desertion of words used to describe them. So I've got two copies of this book where Benny went about visiting each of the sites that Macaulay described in the first work in order to form a kind of photographic collection of them for their combined work in 1977. I began the process of pulling the book apart and compiling the 154 pages comprising colour and black and white plates, full page plates, to transfer each 19 by 25 centimetre image onto a silkscreen in order to print each plate onto another in a kind of reverse order. So, for example, plate 1 onto plate 154, plate 154 onto plate 1, plate 2 onto plate 153, and plate 153 onto plate... I've lost you there, but I'm already lost with this work. So this kind of reversal of... 5 minutes? Yeah. So I guess I think, you know, I use sort of this sort of metaphor of archaeology to think about imagination and a sort of sense of re-experiencing something, from somewhere else in another way. So I'm done. Oh, okay, all right, I'll finish up. All right, I'll just flick through these. Yeah, hang on. So I guess I might just sort of finish up by just sort of thinking, you know, through images like books and, I love this idea of, Benjamin's 1969 Packing My Library, where in that he talks about, you know, going through the process of his collection that is in a room and opening and revisiting the moment when each book was actually acquired and through that process of distance away from the book, physically, you know, from the item and the time of being apart from them. He illustrates how kind of memory can become attached to the experience of things. And I guess where he becomes this observer of his own life, to sort of, you know, for Susan Sontag's better quote of that. So I guess I think of images kind of like books, that they're fragments and each become agents, of course, of memory and the imagination simultaneously. And that my archive, you know, is sort of open-ended, it's never complete, and it's never premised on sort of fixed relationship to this process of reinterpretation happens and rearrangement, importantly. So I guess just, you know, I sort of want to explore this idea of challenging that sort of historical temporal progression of something and how you might think about dislodging that logic of, you know, time, not just by reversing it, but how through the way that images are put together or exhibited and the spatial relationships that can occur in a space between works can sort of draw on that, on those ideas. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it there.
That's a good point, Spencer. Thank you. Great.